Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Today, tonight, is Chris Bosch night. And Mike Wallace, everyone knows the smooth operator. He was down here covering the Heat for the longest. He used to do shows with us.
Yeah.
He was everywhere. And then
one time, big man me going into the stadium.
Mike Wallace, big time dude?
Yeah,
what happened?
We were in like the media entrance. I got a ticket through the station. We're in the media entrance. We have a little line. Mike goes on the outside of the line, walks on around, gives him the Mike Wallace cool man little deuces and hits it on us.
And pretend like he didn't know you?
No, he said, what's up to me?
Oh,
but he still skipped me. Like, he's still Mike Wallace to me.
Because I got big man by Craig Minervini once.
Didn't even say nothing to
me. I waved, hey, Craig, and he walked past me like I was some adoring fan.
Let's jump him.
Mike Wallace, now he works for Grind City Media and the Grizzlies, and he's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Mike.
I like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, or Haitian. Name is Spice Diggy from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we can get down, so let's knock the boost like the group H-Town. Hey, man, the rejoin hyped me up, man, so I'm glad to be back on with y'all. You know I had to come in with a bang.
Look at that. We do all old-school hip-hop on Tuesdays, and you brought the lyrics strong there. That's a strong start for Mike Wallace.
Like it.
Now, we've had this debate on the show ever since the Miami Heat announced they were retiring Chris Bosh's jersey, which will happen tonight. I think he's very worthy of the honor. I love the whole Big Three era. I think he was a very important cog in that. Crowder takes issue with it. Not that he wasn't important, but that to have your jersey hanging in the rafters, he thinks you have to do more than 4 years and put up better numbers than what Chris Bosh put up. Your thought is?
My thought is, you know what? Crowder's wrong in a sense. I get it in terms of the traditional greatness. You look at all-time legends that usually have basically the standard for getting your jersey hung in Boston Garden is different from the standard to get it hung in American Airlines Arena. I mean, that's just you talking about two completely different trajectories in terms of the franchises. But I think what's symbolic about Bosch getting his jersey retired by Miami is that it's partly about Pat Riley and Mickey Arison making good on their promises that they were going to always take care of those guys that signed in 2010, no matter what happened. It also showed that the Heat has some class because it got really ugly between the Heat and Chris Bosch during that time when he had the blood clots. And, you know, it got to the Players Association and there was a whole lot of backroom bickering going on. But for it to come to fruition for them to get back to this night tonight, all of the animosity is bygone and at this point. And you're looking at a guy who contributed and sacrificed more than any other player, basically, his game to get those championships. And remember, they weren't a championship-winning team until Bosch had to sacrifice and be more of a 4-5 as opposed to playing the 4 position that he really wanted. So I think he was a key cog, and I think it's a smart thing to do. And it's the first of many that are going to go up from that era.
But, Mike, you kind of hit on what everybody else when I talk about this, and I don't think his jersey should be in the rafters, man, but the sacrifice. And then when you stay out too late and your wife gets mad at you, so you buy her a bracelet, like makeup jewelry. I don't feel like we should give Chris Bosh any makeup jewelry, bro. Oh, we had a tough time, a tough breakup. Now we're going to put his jersey in the rafters, man. Everything is always about different things he did well to sacrifice. On the court, he wasn't as big as LeBron and Wade was for that team.
No, you're totally right, Trent. It's one of those things where when you look at it, and, you know, frankly, you know, Bosch had the big offensive rebound in that game 6 when Ray Allen hit the shot, but he went 0-for in game 7. He didn't score a point in that 7th game when they won it against San Antonio for that time there. You know, he wasn't the most dominant player on any of those Heat teams. He probably wasn't the second most dominant because you can argue that some of the other role players were more impactful. Shane Battier, for instance, or Mike Miller in the Oklahoma City series where Mike Miller drained all of those threes. So he didn't. Chris Bosh never had the big signature moment that you latch onto, but it was more about the way he carried himself. I mean, I respected Chris in that locker room covering him day after day, because he was the one that wasn't afraid to be who he was. He knew he wasn't as cool as Dwayne Wade or as powerful as LeBron James, but he was fine being unique. He was fine talking about coding and playing his guitar and being just a unique, intelligent young black man in that situation that didn't have all the agents and all the power and all the swag. He was cool being sort of the nerd. And I think because he was the way he was, he became individually better friends with both LeBron and Dwayne Wade and allowed them to reach a level of greatness that, especially with LeBron, that we hadn't seen prior to that on a championship stage.
Mike Wallace is with us, used to cover the Heat for ESPN, and now he's with the Grizzlies writing about them. I was saying earlier that, you know, that number three piece on the team, while you can diminish it because it's the three piece, but when you've got LeBron and Wade as one and two, that three piece is pretty important. But I was saying watching LeBron this season in LA, I think it was never more evident how important numbers two and three are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at, first of all, I said it from day one, and I still believe it more wholeheartedly now than ever before. LeBron going to the Lakers wasn't about LeBron winning another championship. It was about LeBron writing the final chapter of his career in a place where his other business ventures can jump off and he can still get the most money that he can get and sort of go off into the sunset, literally. He'll never win another championship, you know, not with the Lakers. I can't see it. Even if Anthony Davis goes there, what it will take for them to get Anthony Davis is going to basically deplete those guys. So he'll never have a number three guy as good as Chris Bosh was. And I don't think even when you go back, I would still say Chris Bosh was better than Kevin Love as the number three in Cleveland. And, you know, when you look at the number threes and a lot of these big threes, I mean, you had the Boston big three, obviously, with, you know, Bird, McHale, and Parrish. That's an all-time Hall of Fame classic. You know, Magic, Kareem, and Byron Scott, you know, and some of those teams. So you need that third guy, and Bosh was the quintessential third guy. And a lot of times those guys end up being Hall of Famers as well.
So we've been, you know, classifying LeBron to L.A. as almost a failure. But you're saying it can't be a failure because he didn't plan on going out there and doing much in the postseason.
No, I mean, for him not to make the playoffs this year, I think that's a big, big, big time mark against him. You know, listen, the one thing that, and people always go back to the LeBron and the Jordan comparisons, and I'm of the opinion, look, both of these guys were great. I think LeBron is clearly the greatest of his generation and of his era. Mike's the greatest of all time. So that doesn't diminish necessarily one versus the other. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't be who LeBron James is and miss the playoffs in that situation. I mean, think about it. It also makes you wonder, okay, for nine straight years, you reached the finals in the East. Your first year going to the West, you can't even get into the playoffs, and you got a bunch of teams that, like, look at the team that shares the building with those guys. You know, that Clippers team tried to get bad at the trade deadline, and they ended up getting better by default. So, you know, you look at some of these teams, Oklahoma City isn't overwhelming. You couldn't get your team better than that. So I think it does show as a single individual mark against LeBron. But I think on a grander scale, it was about much more than just basketball. So, you know, again, I don't know if he'll ever make it back to the finals in the West, right, the way it is right now.
Speaking of playoffs, so the Heat are in the 8 seed right now, and Orlando is a half game behind them, and the Heat have Orlando tonight at the American Airlines Arena, and D. Wade has been willing this Heat team to victories. You covered him in his prime down here. Are you amazed that D. Wade is doing here at the end of the season what he's doing?
I am, because when you go back to the end of those Heatles days, I mean, we all saw, you know, Dwayne was breaking down. I mean, I thought he was maybe one or two seasons away from completely being done with the knee issues that he had. And then the trade that he sort of, the free agent signing and go to Chicago and then ended up in Cleveland. And it seemed like all of those things were backfiring on him. And then for him to come back and make this right, yes, Bosch's jersey is going in the rafters, but this season is also about, you know, Dwayne Wade making things right too, and Pat Riley and that organization coming back to one accord in terms of what Dwayne's legacy is. I'm surprised that he's able to produce the way he's producing consistently like this. He's their best player, and he's the oldest player on the roster right now. So I never thought that would be the case when you go back to 2014, 2015, when, you know, I saw him draining his knees, you know, every other playoff series, and I saw him barely able to, you know, stand at the end of some of those playoff games because of what was going on with his knees. So for him to come back 4 years later and still be this, to this magnitude for this team. We're talking about the eighth seed, but really, you know, the sixth, seventh, and eighth in the East and the ninth are all separated by a game and a half. So Miami can not only just get the eighth, they can get up as high as six if they win this game tonight and then, you know, finish off the season pretty, relatively strong.
Mike, I've asked this question to a couple people, and it's always a slow answer, so I don't know if that's good or bad, but who is the best player right now on the Miami Heat roster?
To me, it's Dwayne Wade. You know, because the thing about it is that who are you most willing to live with if they miss a game-winning shot? It's Dwayne Wade. That's the guy you want the ball in his hands at the end of every single game. Justice Winslow has turned his complete trajectory around in terms of where he was when I left Miami, his first year to where he is now. I really love the way he's improved his game. Bam Adebayo is the best center on the roster right now, despite Hassan's numbers. Obviously Josh is a really, really good player, but he's more of a role player. I think at the end of the day, when you need something done, a guy that's willing to step up and fail if he has to in order for a shot to succeed, then you got to go with Dwayne Wade, and I think he's the best guy. It's good to see you going Dragic back with, some health right now, and hopefully he can finish up as well the way he is. But Dwayne Wade is the best player on that team. I think that's the case, locally and nationally from when you're viewing it from outside.
Makes it scary for next season for Heat fans, though, because they're not going to replace it with anything. Like, they can't.
No, they're not. They're not. Yeah. They're not, unless they get aggressive in the trade market this summer, which is an option. I know Pat Riley sort of, he tried to temper some of the expectations this summer because he's looking forward to 2020, 2021. But they do have a lot of contracts that you can move for guys that are on expiring deals. There are a lot of people coming up who signed those that same offseason that Hassan Whiteside signed in 2016. A lot of other guys signed contracts that are going to be expiring as well that really hadn't lived up to those kind of contracts, Hassan included to some extent. So there are some options that they can have to unload some of those deals and maybe get back either A, draft picks, or B, some younger version of some talent that they can sort of retool and reload with without having to go complete rebuild.
Hey, Mike, have you watched any of Zion Williamson this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I picked him up. Obviously you can't avoid him, man. He's on SportsCenter, every other day. And I've seen a couple of his games. I just saw their last game against UCF.
What's like an NBA comparison to what his game will look like at the next level? Because he's just little boys, all these kids now. What's he going to be at the next level?
You remember how Channing Crowder was at Florida? In his first year? Remember that first year?
The arrests are on the field.
when he was kicking ass on and off the field.
I got you.
But only supposed to be doing it on the field.
Yeah. But, to me, we keep trying to draw these comparisons. And even inside an NBA franchise and talking to different scouts and executives, it's hard to draw. To me, he's physically bigger. So he's Karl Malone's body, but sort of Chris Webber's college athleticism. If you go back to that Fab Five, Chris Webber was dunking on everybody. He was handling. He was passing. But Zion is, add 20 more pounds to Chris Webber's frame, and then you got Zion Williamson. And that's who he sort of reminds me of at this point. I think he's going to come in and be as physically dominant. And he's shown the ability to knock down some three-point shooting in the college level. And I think that's going to help him progress even further in the NBA. But when you're that big and you're that powerful, you wonder, can he hold up physically? We've seen LeBron basically go 16 years without getting a major injury with that kind of force. But we've also seen Amari Stoudemire and some other guys go through some tough knee injuries and foot injuries and ankle injuries. So hopefully Zion can stay healthy because he's going to be a tear once he gets to this league.
Mike Wallace, he writes for the Grind City Media and the Grizzlies. You used to read his work all the time. What was it, the Heat Index? Was that what it was called on ESPN?
Yes, sir. That's what it was.
Yeah, the Heat Index.
The Heat Index. Yep, those were the days, man.
Mike Wallace. Those four seasons, that will never be replicated, right? That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
It is. I mean, from top to bottom, I think it'll never happen again. The level of sacrifice, the timing of putting that roster together, the stability and the leadership that Pat Riley and Mickey Arison had, because it could have gone belly up in year two, and it didn't. So, I mean, you got to credit it was a perfect storm of everything that went into making that franchise successful. And they had it for 4 years in a row. And I think when you look back on it, a lot of guys are probably going to regret that it ended the way it did. I mean, but at the end of the day, you're seeing it come full circle, as I said before, with Bosch getting his jersey retired, Dwayne having this season that's meaningful down the stretch. And the only one that's not happy right now is probably LeBron. But You know, he's out west in the sunshine right now, so he's cool.
Man, if they had stayed together, Mike, if they had stayed together. That's got to keep Pat Riley up at night.
First the Fat Boys break up, now this.
See you, Mike. Thanks for making time for us.
All right, guys.
Mike Wallace, Grind City Media, and used to cover the Heat for the Heat Index on ESPN. We celebrate Chris Bosh on Chris Bosh Day.
Radio.com.
Speaking my language with Houdini. Three o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Big Heat game tonight. NFL owners meetings are going on in Phoenix. Brian Flores, the new head coach of the Dolphins, he spoke to the media today. Chris Greer spoke to the media today as well?
Yesterday.
Anybody say anything of note? I didn't see any of it.
Well, old Flores talked about tanking, gets him emotionally messed up inside and stuff. But
you have that sound? This is from, he did a media availability. It's just like a round table at a banquet table,
isn't it?
Yeah,
he spoke for like an hour.
Oh, he's sitting down. Like, it's not anything official.
Right, it's not like a podium, but they're all the coaches. You saw the coach's picture, and all the coaches meet with their media members today. All right, let me hear that. So that's Brian Flores discussing.
You saw the coach's picture?
Yes.
Andy Reid might need to wear some leggings.
I got to look at it now.
Man, that man's ankles are big around his basketballs, man.
Let's see. Hold on. NFL.
Push it. You got to push that swelling out.
Photo.
Or my grandma used to say salt makes your feet fat.
He's living that salt life?
He's living that salt life, man.
Oh, look at that.
It's the first thing you see in the picture.
Holy mackerel.
You didn't even have to zoom in.
Wow.
Yeah, he needs to wear some of those Hooter Girl leggings.
Yeah, he needs compression socks.
He does, man.
He's got a shop where nurses shop.
The sock with the little hole in the bottom.
Wow. There's a lack of blood flow or something.
See, I just have some concern for my man. You know, I love Andy Reid.
And why
I
he's
love
the only
him.
One wearing shorts?
He always does that. He always wears the Hawaiian shirt, and I like the fact that he's just all cashed out. But, yeah, he's got his right calf is very enlarged. I'm worried about him, man. I'm alarmed by this.
Who's the dude on the right side? There's some faces I've never seen before.
All the way to the right?
Yeah, he looks kind of creepy.
Like to the far right?
Yeah, sitting down.
I'm not looking at him.
That's Broberg.
You're not lying.
That would be funny to Photoshop in Broberg and Birchtold.
Don't make my coach Broberg.
Which one's Brian Flores? Don't be smart.
Literally right next to Andy Reid.
Don't be smart. He jumps out to you as well.
Not a ton of diversity in that photo.
No. And then did you see the general manager picture?
No.
Chris Greer.
Just Chris Greer.
And them. Swear to goodness. Go look at the GM picture. Chris Greer. That's it.
Who is the coach to the far right sitting down?
Oh, Butch Davis.
It looks Butch Davis-ish.
I don't know. I can't see.
Looks like a young Eric Mangini, kind of. Who is that?
Is that Zach Taylor? I don't know.
Taylor, maybe.
Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Andy Reid's...
Them legs, man.
But the right calf is much larger than the left one.
His belt's too tight.
Is that what it is? He's wearing a belt around his thigh, his right thigh?
Because the arteries bring the blood down, but the veins take it back.
So he's got a tourniquet?
He tourniquet his waist.
Huh. Is that something?
The first thing you see in that picture is Andy Reid's calves.
No, you're right. It jumps out at you. I thought you were goofing around because you do that all the time. So I just searched Andy Reid in the search bar on Twitter, and the four things that pop up: Andy Reid legs, photos of Andy Reid legs, news about Andy Reid legs, videos of Andy Reid legs.
I think I need some news to see what's wrong with him. The picture's not telling me enough.
Huh. Do you see Adam Gase anywhere in that picture?
Ass eyes?
Well, ass eyes.
I must have them because I can't see him.
No, well, I know. I think Mike Tomlin skipped the picture, didn't he? And I think.
Oh, yeah, Mike Tomlin's not in there.
Yeah, I think a few coaches skipped the picture. Did Adam Gase skip the picture? He's too big for the picture. Adam Gase now is too big for the coach's picture. Is there just
six people are missing?
Is there just a hat? Adam Gase sent a hat.
Yeah, he's not there.
Oh, somebody texts in. I do want to read this.
Bro, if Belichick makes it,
you got to be there.
Gase.
If Andy Reid makes it,
you
got to
be there.
Oh, Andy Reid was just looking for a chair. he didn't know there would be pictures. He was just looking to sit down.
I can see him breathing hard in the picture. He looks like he's breathing hard. It's a still shot.
Somebody texts in, did you guys see the article that came out, Adam Gase trying to trade Tannehill for Stafford last year? I saw that. I was driving in. I haven't read it. I saw the headline. I saw Armando wrote it. So what happened? They were looking to trade
for Matt Stafford
last season?
Before last season began, yes. Armando Salguero wrote it.
Wow.
They said Gase, in fact, reached out personally to Lions coach Matt Patricia to try to pry Stafford away from the Lions. Gase and Patricia are friends, and the Lions coach was new to the Lions at the time and considering all options on how to improve his new team.
Huh. That would have been
mid-season last year?
No, before
the season. No, before the season started.
So this is Tannehill coming off the injury.
And this is, you know, Adam Gase, ride or die with Ryan Tannehill, was working the phones feverishly to try to get rid of Ryan Tannehill before the season started.
Now, I'll give Adam Gase credit for having the post. If this report's true, because I don't know, I need a little deeper reporting, but he had a poker face about Tannehill.
Yep.
I never would have expected him out there looking for another quarterback. I thought he was riding or dying with Tannehill, and especially Tannehill coming off a whole season where the expectation of, hey, come back healthy and you'll be
fully
right back
healthy,
to where you were.
And you remember what he did the season prior.
So Adam Gase saw something in OTAs or minicamp or something and said, hey, if this report is true, that, hey, I need to go find somebody. That's interesting.
It says, Armando Salguero wrote it in the Miami Herald. Turns out the Miami Dolphins tried to move on from Ryan Tannehill a year earlier than anyone thought. The team mounted an effort led by Adam Gase to trade for a quarterback to replace Tannehill before the 2018 season, according to multiple league sources. And the target of Gase's attempt to upgrade the Dolphins at quarterback was Lions quarterback Matt Stafford, sources also say. Gase, in fact, reached out personally, as Flero just told you, to Lions coach Matt Patricia to try to pry Stafford from the Lions. Gase and Patricia are friends. Lions coach was new to the Lions at the time. Although it's not believed the talks reached a point where the Dolphins were asked what they were willing to give for Stafford, it is believed Gase would have offered at minimum Miami's 2018 first-round pick and probably more. Patricia, obviously recognizing Stafford's value to the Lions, told Gase he was not willing to move on from the quarterback at that point.
Huh.
Changes a little bit of the narrative.
It makes me think, like, surprising. I was surprised he got fired as fast as he did. But now this, if you look back and think about it, Gase wasn't doing this secretly. He wasn't flying up in a stealth, you know, some stealth plane to talk to Matt Patricia. He talked about it with the organization. So Adam Gase put himself out there saying, I'm going to go try to get another quarterback to replace Tannehill. I'm going to go find a quarterback for this season. And he comes back empty-handed. That might have been a knock against him as the coach.
Well, and that coupled with, hey, you told me when we hired you, Tannehill's the guy.
Yeah.
2 years in and just one season of Tannehill, not even a full season, you're trying to wheel and deal with. Like, you told me he was the guy. Now we're 3 years. Like, Stephen Ross is saying, if you had told me that 3 years ago, we wouldn't have gone through these three seasons with Ryan Tannehill. We stuck with him because you said so. Then you had 11 games with him and you're trying to move on from him.
That's,
like, you could see where Stephen Ross would go, hey, bleep this.
It makes him look confused. It really does make Adam Gase look confused. That's where, and if the Jets knew that story, that might be why, hey, he can develop quarterbacks, but he has to have one with some talent because he doesn't know really how to pick one or even how to acquire one. That makes a lot of sense on why Stephen Ross would have soured on Adam Gase quickly after this story was reported.
That's interesting. That's an interesting twist of events. And then you'd be extra angry at Adam Gase if you're a Dolphins fan. Because, honestly, that really, if he's really trying to peddle for a new quarterback before the 2018 season, then he was not sold on Ryan Tannehill because he only had 11 games with him.
Yep.
And after those 11 games, like, I'm telling you, you ended up with three extra seasons of Ryan Tannehill because of Adam Gase.
And the 11 games was on a playoff run.
And he's telling you still, this isn't my guy.
That's interesting. He didn't see enough out of him in that one. And that was the good season. The good season, he didn't see enough out of Tannehill to go replace him with Stafford. That's an interesting report.
Really,
Don't you think he was just scared, though? Because, like, he's coming off the ACL injury, and he had to deal with Jay Cutler for a year.
Yeah, so but, I mean, but if you think he's as good as he obviously led Stephen Ross to believe that he thinks, like, you can't change your mind after 11 good games. Like, you obviously don't really think that.
And to go get an established quarterback, you would have to give up some high picks,
right?
For.
Like you're not getting a safety valve in case Ryan Tannehill's, you know, not healthy. I mean, you're gonna leverage the future for Matt Stafford.
I just feel like he was under the pressure, like because he had Cutler for a year. Cutler was nothing, and he was 7-9.
Right, but everybody was willing to write that season off as a mulligan, and because Tannehill was hurt, that smells bad. For Dolphins fans, I think. Why'd you talk, you know, hey, Gase, ass eyes, why'd you talk the Dolphins into keeping him for three seasons, essentially, if you didn't really think he was the right guy?
Because you have to take this report now and jump back about 10 months of what was going on.
Right.
That's what I'm starting to do. I'm the math in my mind of this was going on when Tannehill was recovering from his
knee? So then you didn't believe that he was gonna come back healthy and be good.
Dude was out for a year, and I'm preaching, wait till Tannehill comes back, and the guy that told me Tannehill's the guy is trying to replace him?
What are you looking at, ass eyes?
I'm a little upset with ass eyes right now.
All right, we'll play the sound from Brian Flores in the next segment. What does the current Dolphins coach have to say about the notion that they're tanking? We will find out together next.
What are you looking at, ass?
Radio.com. Radio.com.
3 o'clock hour, Hockman and Crowder, presented by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Somebody texted in. You teased Brian Flores' sound, then I'm going back to work. Who doesn't want to hear what Brian Flores has to say about tanking?
He's not his personality is endearing.
That's true. Did he sound any different today?
No, he sounds the same.
Really?
He loosened up a little bit.
I mean, because this question like bothered him. You can see
this. I want to hear this. This is Brian Flores today. NFL owners meetings going on in Phoenix. Brian Flores, new head coach of the Dolphins. He's asked about tanking.
You know, I think the term, you know, tanking, I think it's disrespectful to the game. I really do. I don't like that term. I don't like when people use it. This game's done a lot for me personally. I've said this before, like, football really leveled the playing field for me as a person. You know, it's really the one thing that leveled the playing field. So to disrespect the game and use that term is just, I guess, it stirs something up inside of me. Let's put that, to put it nicely. Those are my feelings on it.
Get that ad lib.
I've never. I'm going to go into every game trying to win. You know, that's always going to be my objective. I'm going to go into anything I do trying to win. I'm going to try to instill that in everybody I come across. So, no, there's no tanking. You can write that over and over and over again.
It almost came out. Nah, son.
But he's playing semantics out there. He's playing a semantics game right there. He's pretending that tanking means go out and try to lose. It doesn't mean that. Tanking in this instance means not fielding the best team in the world. You can't tell me that you're not tanking after you've gotten rid of who you've gotten rid of and bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick as quarterback. Like, Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's fine.
It's funny. I had to figure it out. I did not know what tanking was. So I will promise to goodness, and it's. I'm not saying this in generality. I'm talking about in real life. I didn't understand what tanking was till I retired and got on radio. Because I thought the way Brian Flores just talked. What's that again? Oh, tanking. So 53 guys are going to get together and try to lose. Huh?
Right. That would never happen.
It can't happen. But I had to figure out where, to your point. Just think about this concept. They're going to have rollover money into 2020 salary cap.
And a zillion picks.
Rollover money. That means they didn't spend as much money as they could this year.
Right.
The NFL gives you money to pay your players, and you don't spend the max to have more money next year. If you look at that, that's not saying let's lose. That's looking like you're trying not to really win.
It's planning ahead. I mean, what did Pat Riley and the Heat do during that 15-win season? They were planning ahead. Like, that, there's no shame in that. I've said it a million times over. You got to, as we said yesterday, stand by your man. Where's our, what's her name, Tanya Tucker?
Tammy Wynette. Man.
Tammy Wynette. Where's our Tammy Wynette?
I guess I don't know.
That's his ad lib? Aye. Where's Tammy Wynette? I want to stand by our man, which is Stephen Ross. Stand by your man. You didn't elongate it for the stand by your man forever like I told you yesterday?
Because you're going to stand by your man. I mean.
But I asked you yesterday to elongate it to get the whole verse.
Why do you want the whole verse? It's not a verse.
I told
chorus.
You yesterday.
It's
I don't chorus. Understand. Why can't I get done what I asked to get done?
I got the drop. Stand by your man.
It's the human hiccup.
He's the human hiccup. We learned that during Cheers 2 today.
Can you not call me that?
You human are. Hiccup. First, you were the human Zion Williamson shoe.
I think I like that one better.
You were a parking brake. A parking brake for the longest time.
Oh, that was
just
years.
A human parking brake. It didn't matter if you were trying to go forward. This guy had the parking brake on. He'd try to keep you where you were. And then he became Zion Williamson's shoe. It just, he explodes. It sucks the air out of the building.
It doesn't.
Everyone's left looking around going, what just happened?
Or worried about me.
And now you're just, you're a human hiccup.
I guess, I don't know.
I want Stand By Your Man.
Stand By Your Man.
Stephen Ross, it's a tanking situation. It's okay. Dolphins fans will stand by their man. Sometimes things get tough, right? I mean,
yes.
Not everything is going to be rosy.
Nope.
Sometimes you got to stand by your man.
Stand by your man.
And on the other side, it probably is going to be better than right now if you stick with them through the tough times.
Like this is before she gets plastic surgery,
huh?
All of a sudden.
I guess I don't know.
All of a sudden,
I'm with Flores on that one.
Yeah.
You know a tank it, and it's whatever you want to call it. Okay, I'll call it a rebuild for you, 305 on the text line. The rebuild. You know who it's toughest on? The head coach.
Sure.
That's who's in the middle of these players trying to make legacies for their name and their family and try to maximize their money, and the other side of the organization figuring out this bigger picture thought. And the head coach has to walk the line between the middle of them. It's hell on the head coach doing this.
And it's, I would say it's hell, too, on real veteran superstars. A Cam Wake, it would have been very difficult on.
Yes.
Rashad Jones, it's going to be difficult on.
Yep.
Last season was difficult on Rashad Jones. This coming season is going to be difficult on him.
And he's, Rashad, I know Rashad, I was there when he came in. Rashad's not a give-me-my-money guy. Rashad's a very competitive, I want to win, I want to be respected like a Ronnie Lott type. Like, Rashad wants his legacy in the league. He's not I got my money, I'm good to go. Some players do that now. They give people a hard time all the time when guys be like, man, AB, I just want to get paid, bro. Give me my money that I deserve. Oh, he's chasing money. That's what he decided to chase. Rashad's not like that. It's going to be hard for a guy that's talking about his legacy, being great, going to a Hall of Fame, having a bust in Canton, and being on a 2-14 team?
Yeah, that can't be fun.
It's tough to do.
You did it with JT, right? JT was on that 1-15 team?
Wasn't he?
Was he?
Didn't. Yeah, because Parcells came in and let him go.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, JT had some, I don't want to say fake injuries, but he was never hurt until we started getting terrible. Then that damn calf swelled up on him. But a lot of people, it is tough. Even for JT, it's tough on anybody to play on a terrible team. But now a Brian Flores has to talk to a team that's 2-10.
Got to keep them engaged.
Keep them going. Tell them, oh, let's fight back. Let's keep moving. Let's keep pushing forward. He's the guy that has to walk the line of bigger picture thought to, hey, coach, we play Sunday and we haven't won a game yet. What are we going to do on Sunday to get out of this slump? That's what the players are thinking. We're in a four-game slump. We need to get out of it.
How do you get us out of this?
And it's on him. But the other side of it, where the organization might not be saying it's a slump. It might be saying the plan is working perfectly.
Right.
Like, that's that mid-ground Brian Flores has to walk.
All right, we got to take a quick break here. It's Chris Bosch Day. You got to stand by your man. Whose man's is this?
I guess I don't know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.